Since 1983, Copenhagen Modern Furniture has showcased Austin's largest collection of fine contemporary furniture and accessories. Now, at Copenhagen, save $500 on any stressless signature or leg comforter recliner model. For more ways to save, shop online at CopenhagenLiving.com or visit the showroom on Breaker Lane. Copenhagen Modern Furniture, Austin's premier destination for everything contemporary since 1983.
Are there particular movies that are better or worse than you remember them?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So Iron Man 3 is utter trash.
Welcome to I Love You So Much, the podcast about the people, places, and things we love about Austin. Our podcast is from the feature staff at the Austin American Statesman, and we're sponsored by Copenhagen Furniture. I'm Executive Features Editor Sharon Chapman.
And I'm Austin 360 Editor Eric Webb. And this week, our culture writer Joe Gross is sitting down with the Statesman City Hall reporter and, his words, not mine, giant nerd Phil Jankowski to talk about a heroic quest indeed. Sharon, do you know more about this heroic quest?
I sure do. Phil decided to watch all 21 Avenger movies, or Marvel Cinematic Universe movies as they are also known, before the premiere of Avengers Endgame. So he's been watching one a night for 21 days leading up to the big premiere.
Yeah, which is almost a month, which is crazy if you think about it. I mean, he actually showed me his Google Calendar and he had them blocked off in order. And he was live tweeting them as well, which was just a delight to watch.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I really felt like you were with Phil in his living room watching these movies. And so Avengers Endgame is all we've been talking about for a while. But doesn't it point to kind of like a broader cultural moment that we're having for kind of like nerd stuff?
Oh, for sure. In fact, I would say it's all we've been talking about, except when we're talking about Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Which is also having its moment right now. And two major productions coming to an end at pretty much the same time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So Game of Thrones is in its final season, and Avengers Endgame is kind of just supposed to be this bow tie on 21 films over a decade of Marvel Cinematic Universe filmmaking and plot lines. And they're still going to make Marvel movies, but they're not going to necessarily be following this whole Infinity Stones plot line where Thanos are big, mean, purple, mad titan played by Josh Brolin is manipulating everyone from his space station castle, wherever he lives. I don't know. I'm sure he has nice real estate. He's the mad titan.
Yeah, he got rid of half the world, right? So he probably has a pick of beachfront property.
Yeah, he probably picked a nice resort in Boca and he just set up shop. So you're going to hear from Phil and Joe talking about this massive, marvelous undertaking. And spoiler, listeners, if you like hearing these two guys talk, if you go to Austin360.com/Game of Thrones, you can actually subscribe to Phil and Joe's Game of Thrones podcast called Win or Die, Analyzing Game of Thrones. It's a great listen.
It's so good. They go deep. I mean, Joe thinks about culture in a way that I didn't even know you could think about culture. I mean, it's amazing. And they really bring out the humanity as well as the fun of a show like Game of Thrones and also the whole Avengers universe.
And Phil's just filled with glee. No pun intended. So without further ado, here's Joe Gross and Phil Jankowski talking about Phil's heroic quest to rewatch every Marvel Cinematic Universe movie before the premiere of Avengers Endgame.
This is Joe Gross, culture writer for the Austin American Statesman, and I'm here with Phil Jankowski, who is my partner on Win or Die, analyzing Game of Thrones, the final season, our Game of Thrones podcast. And Phil has self-identified many times as one of our resident nerds, and he decided, for reasons that absolutely pass understanding, to watch all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies over a period of how long was it?
22 days.
So you did them straight through?
Yeah. I haven't finished yet, but we are getting close. I set this up basically because I'm very much looking forward to Avengers Endgame, that I wanted to watch every single movie leading up to watching, Avengers Endgame when it comes out.
I hesitate to ask this, but what did you learn that you didn't know before?
how sort of interconnected these movies are, and through small things, which are very, very neat, that you have a lot of very small, insignificant characters that kind of show up in the other movies, which gives it this sort of subtle continuity that you can really appreciate, which helps you kind of, a lot of these movies are really standalone movies, but there are these subtle nods to, we are building towards this big, big, grand finale.
Are there particular movies that are better or worse than you remember them?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So Iron Man 3 is utter trash. That movie, I remember at the time even thinking that, like, okay, this is not great, but it's acceptable. And I can say right now that that movie is unacceptable.
It feels pretty placeholder-y.
Yeah, it's... it almost feels like they were just like, okay, let's get it. Let's just get this thing done.
Yeah, nobody looked particularly happy to be there.
Yeah, and so, like, it doesn't have Jon Favreau as the director of it, and it shows. I don't remember who the director is, but it's just kind of cheesy, and the music is awful, utterly awful. Like, totally takes you out of the movie. That one and Thor, The Dark World, also not great, but I did remember that one being bad, so it didn't catch me by as much of a surprise as Iron Man 3 did.
Mm-hmm.
On the opposite end, Ant-Man really surprised me. I sort of remembered it as just being like, okay, this is okay, but when I like rewatched it, I was like, this is a delight. I mean, this movie is kind of small stakes for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and that's okay. Like, that is definitely okay, because so much of these movies are about, like, apocalypse and everything like that, and this is just like, hey, let's hang out with Paul Rudd and Michael Peña, who is absolutely awesome in that movie, and in the sequel, Ant-Man and the Wasp, which I put on the same level. So those two movies, these are definitely really better than what I remembered.
Yeah, it sounds like the films that people were kind of not crazy about at the time have stayed not particularly good. Like, there are no, I mean, you just alluded to the idea that there are, you know, that the Ant-Man movies are kind of hidden gem-ish.
Yeah.
The first one, I remember, had an absolutely magnificent use of the Cure in a great visual gag.
Oh yeah,
where he shrinks down.
Yeah, they're like falling out of the sky in a briefcase or something, and somebody yells something, and Siri like picks up on it and is like, "Okay, let's play the Cure song." I don't remember what song it is, but it's definitely
it's the beginning of Disintegration.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh yeah, he actually says, "I'm gonna disintegrate you," and then he says, I will play a Cure Disintegration.
Yeah, starts right. It's a great joke.
There's another sort of there's another in the sequel. There's a flash of Morrissey. There's a part where Michael Peña is talking about his aunt's restaurant, and he mentions that she has a jukebox in the restaurant that only has Morrissey on it, and how and how like his family and Latinos just get down with Morrissey.
Yeah, that's a good gag. I'm a big fan of the Marvel Universe movies where the stakes are smaller.
Yeah.
The best live action ones for me are Black Panther. Black Panther is great for a lot of reasons.
Right.
But the one with sort of the smallest stakes that I think ends up being easily one of the most effective movies is Spider-Man.
Yes.
Spider-Man Homecoming is really great. The stakes for that are pretty small.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just talking about an arms dealer pretty much as the bad guy, but you know, it's another good one. And I find this is sort of a trend that I'm finding that the ones that I find more compelling have villains that are, that have, you know, sympathy to them.
Uh-huh.
You know, Michael Keaton, who I just adore, as soon as he showed up in that movie, one of my first time watching through it, I just, you know, lit up, because I've loved him so, you know, since all the way back in the 80s with Batman. And he's sort of reprising his Birdman role in this. But he's, you know, in that one in particular, you know, it starts off with him just being like a simple blue collar contractor who is basically muscled out of this contract by the government, and in particular Tony Stark. And so, you know, he sort of turns to this black market arms dealership stuff out of protection for his family. And he says it over and over throughout the movie. I'm doing this for my family. I'm doing this for my family. And so even though he's doing the wrong things, he's sort of doing them for the right reasons, which just makes, you know, so it's just not this sort of monolithic good versus evil. It puts it on a human scale.
Yeah, something, and as a Spider-Man comic book nerd, something I really appreciated about that is that, or really appreciate about Homecoming, is that the Vulture character, Michael Keaton, figuring out who Spider-Man was, replicates the relationship between Spider-Man and Norman Osborn in the comics, where Norman Osborn is the Green Goblin.
Okay.
And he's always, something that's always been kind of great about that relationship is Norman has always known that he's Spider-Man and just like kind of hangs it over his head.
Yeah.
Like, I could destroy you immediately.
Right.
And it's, I mean, it's a little bit different because Norman is crazy and the Vulture is, you know, just a regular criminal, but I thought that was very, very clever.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reveal that he's figured out is particularly a great part of the movie as he figures it out, as he is taking Peter Parker with his daughter to the homecoming dance. And it's a really great scene. One of the standouts in all of these movies.
So where are you now?
I am going to see Captain Marvel today for the second time. Me and our breaking news editor, Rob Viapondo, are actually headed up to the draft house after work today to go check that out. In doing this rewatch, I'd kind of wanted to do everything in a chronological order, not as the movies came out, but as things took place.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one that I took way out of that, and for good reason, mainly for the reason because it's the most recent movie that's come out. And so I wanted to watch this one later in my rewatch because I wanted to see what sort of things from previous movies might show up. So that's why if I had done it purely like in the release order, I originally had Captain Marvel right, actually watching it before watching Endgame on Friday, but I decided it would definitely be best to just watch Infinity War before that.
Are there any particular performances that stand out?
This is not going out on a limb, but basically Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark is just, he is Tony Stark. Like as soon as he shows up on screen, you're just like, yep, that's Tony Stark. This is perfect. This movie is going to be wonderful. So many of them. Do you have any, you know, who do you think are some of the best performances out of all of these?
I think Chris Evans has done a pretty spectacular job of embodying a guy who is ill at ease with the time that he's in, but has sort of figured out that certain values are eternal, and that if he anchors himself in his own sense of morality, he's going to be okay, which I think is sort of an underrepresented idea in Civil War, because you think about Civil War, I think, is kind of an inspired film in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because at least in the comics, it was originally, when this was announced, everybody thought the Captain America side is going to be the pro-government regulation side.
Right.
And Iron Man, the industrialist, is going to be the more libertarian view. I am not a huge fan of Mark Miller, the guy who wrote the original comics, but having Captain America be the one saying it is a mistake to put us under government control because governments change, I thought was really inspired, because it speaks to a guy who is completely confident of his own moral authority. Now, I think that Stark has his larger point is more applicable to the vast majority of people who are superpowered in this universe, where his argument is essentially, we're not all like you.
Yeah, we're weapons of mass destruction.
We're weapons of mass destruction. Yeah. And we can't count on not going nuts. Like, you know, Bruce Banner tends to go nuts and kill a whole bunch of people.
Right.
And that's not acceptable anymore. But I think that Chris Evans does a very good job of embodying this guy who is such a natural leader that people just sort of step in line. And that's taken straight from the comics, and it's a good look.
Yeah.
And I think he's doing a really good job. And he's also an extremely good looking guy. There's really no getting around that.
That's one thing that there's so many that I've noticed in basically every movie that they have. Is basically like there's got to be just some sort of rider in every Marvel contract. If you're a leading man in a Marvel movie, your shirt is coming off.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I think that was a very self-conscious. It would not surprise me if that was a very self-conscious decision. It's like, how can we make these less geeky, which in very primitive terms translates into
sex appeal?
How can we get women to watch these movies? Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds really unfortunate, but I've got a lot of friends who are like, I really appreciate the fact that there is egregious beefcake in every single one of these movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really like, and it's not even subtle. Like it's often very funny, and not funny, but not subtle. Like there's one, I can't remember which film it is now. I think it's Winter Soldier, where the Captain America character has to grab a helicopter and hang on to a roof at the same time.
I love that movie, but like that particular scene I laugh at because it's like the physics make no sense at first. And then
you just sort of end up looking at Chris Evans' bicep being do you even do that?
He
like,
put in the work.
That's amazing.
Another thing that I would like to point at as sort of the broad mass appeal of these movies is their embrace of humor. It really kind of, it started in Iron Man, and then they kind of went away from it. You can see in the Thor movies, especially the first one and the second one, it's kind of non-existent. There's not much there. There's some there, but not that much. And the audience suffers for it. And then it kind of, once we hit Guardians of the Galaxy, it's just like, okay, these are really actually just like action comedies. Really sort of brings in, I think, a lot of the non-geeks to the fore.
The Thor stuff is kind of a shame because both of those movies, or the first two rather, have Kat Dennings in them, who is hilarious all the time.
And she does her best.
Well, then they don't give her anything to do.
Yeah.
She just sort of stands around and you're like, this gal is hysterically funny. Give her something to do. Natalie Portman is not funny.
No.
There are zero contexts in which Natalie Portman is funny. Anyway, any final thoughts on your epic rewatch of these movies?
I am so very excited. It has been tough on some days, easy on other days. mainly, I am just really excited. I'm happy I did it. Very super excited about this coming movie, which is 3 hours long.
Yeah, well, thanks for taking that bullet for us, Phil.
Well, you're going to see it too.
I meant all kabillion of them. Anyway, thanks very much, man.
Yeah, no problem.
That's our show. Thanks for listening, and thanks to our sponsor, Copenhagen Furniture. Check out the Austin 360 Instagram and Facebook for more about life in Austin. And talk to us on Twitter at LoveAustin360. And please leave us a review on iTunes. It helps other people find our podcast.
I love you so much. The Austin 360 podcast is a production of the feature staff at the Austin American Statesman. This episode was produced by Alyssa Vidalis and Jane Alexander. Our theme music is from local band Hard Proof, which you should definitely check out at hardproofmusic.com.
You can find everything you'd ever want to know about the show and its contributors at austin360.com/loveaustin360. And if you want to pitch an idea for the show or give us feedback, shoot us a note at loveaustin360@statesman.com.
We couldn't do this show without you, listeners, and we can't thank you enough for lending us your ears, your comments, and your pictures of Chris Hemsworth. Until next week, we'll see you weeping outside your favorite movie theater.
Since 1983, Copenhagen Modern Furniture has showcased Austin's largest collection of fine contemporary furniture and accessories. Now, at Copenhagen, save $500 on any Stressless Signature or Leg Comforter Recliner model. For more ways to save, shop online at CopenhagenLiving.com or visit the showroom on Breaker Lane. Copenhagen Modern Furniture, Austin's premier destination for everything contemporary since 1983.